All right, that was a little 8-bit Rock You Like a Hurricane by the Scorpions.
Actually, so we're going to be discussing Scorpions later in the episode, and I have to admit, dude, I didn't know they were a German band. Never.
What?
I know.
Did you ever hear them in an interview? They would literally be on MTV hi, we're the Scorpions. We're going to sting you. Actually,
no, I've actually never heard them in an interview.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, very, very German.
Anyway, all right, this is Best Frenemies. I'm Christopher Long.
And I'm Johnny something Rather.
Dan Rather?
It's hard to pronounce.
So, as you can tell by the audio, we are in the same room.
We're back, baby.
Best Frenemies are no longer recognizing the lockdown and quarantine. But, you know, it's been a while since we've been in the same room and we've recorded together. Have you always recorded naked?
Yeah, I mean, it's my new thing.
All right, good.
Quarantine, let it swing, right? Is that what they say?
You know, kind of developed some bad habits over the last 2 months. Anyway, it's good to be back together.
Dude, damn glad to be back, Chris.
Coronavirus can't keep us apart.
Yeah.
So,
I can't quit you.
I wish I could quit you. All right.
And we were talking before we recorded that the only reason I'm here is because your audio sounded way better than mine.
And Johnny,
I can't have that.
Seriously, the last episode, Johnny was bombed. And I actually listened to it and I was like, dude, why do I sound so much better than you? My day's ruined. Ruined.
It's because it was running off your app on your phone.
I'm totally okay with that. I've always kind of, you know, this is our 43rd episode. My little secret is I always try to sabotage your levels.
Yeah, that's why I sent you that picture of Andy Kaufman when he had the TV show and he made his desk like 10 times bigger than his guest.
And they had to look, yeah, that was
funny. They like look up at him. I'm like, Chris has perfect podcasting situation.
So, Johnny, how's it out in the mean streets of Southern? Well, hold it. Do you have a particular town or region, or are you just all over the place?
I do like Huntington Beach all the way towards like Knott's Berry Farm.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a big patch of territory.
It's a lot of energy.
That's just and you're all amped up right now.
And the farther deep you go, the more they're into it. Dude, you by Huntington, they're like, oh, my body. I don't put that stuff in. And then you go, the more miles you travel in, the more they're into drinking it.
Well, I think I only have
meth too.
2 cans of Blue Raz left.
Well, you do live by South Coast Plaza, Chris. So,
I love that. I love the Rockstar energy drink. So you know, speaking of Huntington Beach, I think we need to discuss our
disclaimer. We're being harassed by...
Oh, yeah. No, we are being harassed.
By 2 knuckleheads in Australia.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and we need to put it into that. So this is coming from Jugs and Jimmy. Jugs and Jimmy. Quite frankly, I can't even tell them apart. I mean, their voices. I mean, seriously, dude. I mean, it was kind of the same way when I'd hear drunk people slur. I mean, can you really distinguish between the slurs?
It is tough.
You know, like your tongue's been shot up with Novocaine. That's what I hear. But we did hear enough to know that we're being insulted.
They were claiming, because we just happen to live next to Huntington Beach, that we're Huntington Beach or something. Because what those knuckleheads are doing with the protesting.
So it came up, just flashback, that I don't recall you saying this verbatim, but Jugs claimed you said that Australians are drunk 90% of the time and they're criminals, and there was something else. What else was it?
I don't know, but they're definitely lovers of cut off vests.
Yeah, they do kind of rock that, don't they?
As do I.
You do. But so Jimmy replied saying, I think they could tell that we have our socks firmly pulled up.
Yeah, we don't know that phrase.
I don't really know what that means.
You know what though? But I'm gonna start using that because I loved it.
Yeah, no, I did love it too. But so they brought up that even down in Australia, they witnessed the people protesting in Huntington Beach without their masks on and open up the state.
Yeah, he claimed Fox News. And I sent him a text when he left that threatening message. I sent him a text saying, the level of embarrassment that you guys can see in Australia all the way, like what's going on in Huntington Beach.
So first of all, let's just point out that Huntington Beach is basically like a mini Florida in Southern California.
It's little Florida.
Yeah, for sure.
Of Orange County.
We do not associate with that. You know, the thing is though, I know some people that are out there protesting. Their names will remain nameless, but I know some people.
I do too.
All right, maybe we should shut up. I don't know. I guess Jugs, Jimmy.
Yeah,
maybe.
You guys were. Hey, well played. Well played.
Maybe you know have a point.
We just need to. You know what? We just need to challenge them to fucking a sport that they don't play over there, so we'll automatically win.
I mean, I will never challenge an Australian to beer pong because you will lose. You will lose.
We're going to have to think of that. Dude, hey, you motherfuckers play Uno in Australia?
Oh, dude, I got a red belt in Uno, bitch.
That's it. That's it. Jugs and Jimmy, be prepared to draw four motherfuckers.
I challenge you a Full Metal Podcast and Best Frenemies tournament via Zoom of Uno.
Oh.
The challenge has been tossed. You've
thrown down the gauntlet.
Yes, I have. It's ready to. Are you ready to rumble?
So, dude. So, what's been enough of that shenanigans? Now there's been some changes in your home life. Your wife's back at work now. Things are starting to open up a little bit.
Except her vagina.
I'll fix that in the edit.
Yeah. Why don't you fix that? Can you please make me say only romantic and wonderful things in post?
Except my loving wife.
Yeah, she's actually been going into the office. Dude, you know what?
She's been going to the office, and what, do you just send your son to his friend's house now and then stay at home and beat your dick like it owes you money?
Well, that's Wednesday.
That's Wednesday. You do Wednesday things on Wednesdays. I like it.
Yeah. whacking Wednesday. Actually, so my son, I got a text message yesterday from my son's high school saying, hey, please call the attendance office. He missed distance learning. He was not present. And I'm like, hey, because I was home. We're both home. And I'm like, dude, what's up? He's like, no, I was there. So I call in and indignant. And I'm like, you know what? My son was there. I was here. I monitor.
Yeah.
I monitor that.
I'm a hands-on parent.
Yes.
No helicopter parenting going on here.
So today, I get another text message going, hey, your son missed class today, distance learning. And I'm like, Jackson, what's up? Oh, yeah, I slept. I slept in.
I'm after like, you fought for him, dude?
Yeah, I'm like, done. You're on your own, kid. I'm not clearing this absence. Yeah. Anyway, I'm ready for this shit to go back. I'm ready to get back to jujitsu.
Oh my God. Yes.
And now that, actually Jugs just posted on, social media that he will not be coming out to Southern California because Worlds jujitsu competition has been canceled. So you know what? Fuck you, Jugs. I had a toe hold for you. Oh, really? That's a tap.
Chris,
you're not coming is a tap.
Chris, why are you ducking me?
I was ready for you, Jugs. Yeah.
So not a lot's changed in our house either, except I am no longer allowed to play video games with the boys.
Oh, shit. What happened?
Okay, well, the 11-year-old, Donnie Darko, who's on our show all the time, he had the balls to challenge me into video games, in a Call of Duty. And I said, dude, you're old enough now where I don't have to pretend to lose anymore. And
oh, that's the best age,
dude. And dude, to beat the champ, you got to take it. So, and he was, dude, he was like, there's no way. And I'm like, dude, okay, so.
Does he know that I call you Johnny Sniper?
That's right. Dude. Well, funny you should mention that. I get the sniper rifle. We start the game. Within 6 seconds, boom, headshot. All of a sudden, instant tears, yelling, screaming, cussing, breaking stuff. And then finally, Donovan says, Dad, if you're going to act that way every time I kill you, then you're not going to play with us anymore. So I guess I can't play with them.
You know what, dude? At that point, you should have faked an injury.
I should have been like, oh, my controller's not working. There's no batteries.
It's not working. It's not hooked in right.
Oops. Your console just fell off the table.
You know what? So with that, letting your kid win, I got two years ago, I got a ping pong table. And I played Jackson, and I mean, I would let him win some of the time.
I just let them both win 2 days ago in ping pong.
Yeah, I would let him win. And then finally, I realized, like, oh shit, he's smoking me. Like, and now, dude, he's a freaking little ping pong champion. Like, it's really embarrassing. If we play 20 times, I might win two. Like,
but that's got to be fun too, to where like you can at least play full speed now and be like, oh yeah, I'm going for it.
Oh no, and that's the best. You know what? And it's funny, we brought the whole Uno thing. That was the one thing about Uno, that anyone who plays Uno has a legitimate shot to win. I mean, if you understand the basics of the game, like, I mean, Jackson was like 3 years old playing Uno and he got it. So it was like, you go like, no home punches with Uno, man.
Yeah.
It's like, I play to win the game.
Or when the one person's down on one card and then both on both sides of them, you start like ganging up.
Oh, dude.
They're like in third place.
Oh, dude. I take Uno very seriously.
You actually won both of the tournaments in our New York trip.
Our bros trip. Yeah. I got my red belt at Uno.
Dude, I'm glad to have you as my partner for the big challenge.
Oh, that's right. Oh, dude. Jugs and Jimmy. Oh, you're going down. All right. So on this episode, we are going to be talking about the Spotify podcast series, Winds of Change, about the band Scorpion and whether or not
they wrote
the CIA wrote the song
Winds of Change.
Yes. We are going to do top five best alien movies. Just a little spoiler alert. Johnny's list sucks.
Whatever,
ass.
Dude.
And then we're going to recommend some stuff. Do you know what you're recommending yet?
I do.
Yeah, so do I.
Oh, well played.
Yeah.
Guess we'll find out. maybe you won't recommend anything if what I recommend hurts Chris's feelings.
Real quick, though, since this is the banter portion, you said you were going to be in my house at 5:30. And what time did you get here?
There, my pirate friend.
No, what time did you get? It
got here at like a fucking
5:50. So I just wanted to, I think it's funny that when I say I'm going to be somewhere at a certain time, I'm there.
I just think it's funny that it's at your house. So how can you be late to your own house?
I wasn't. All right. Let's
start the show already. I'm already sick of you, dude.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing out of Costa Mesa, California, two of the meanest podcasters in the game. Both Brazilian jiu-jitsu artists with a background in being family men. Chris and Johnny from Best Frenemies. We salute you on this day, you savages. Ha!
What's up, bitches? And now, back by popular demand, it's time for Best Frenemies Top 5 List.
Yeah, but you sang. Thank you for that intro, Donnie Darko. You're totally screwing up the whole order here. Thank you for the intro, Donnie Darko. So.
No, dude, behind the scenes, Chris is like, I wouldn't say that for once. And we took 4 tries, and I'm not doing it again.
Well, leave it. I don't even care, dude. Fuck you. I don't. You know what? Let's go back to our remote podcasting. I always sounded better. And I could just cut the conversation when I wanted to.
And I didn't have to look at you.
Now I'm looking at you. All right. So this is top five, and we're doing top five favorite alien movies.
Yeah. Chris, you're prepared this time, too.
Dude, I did a dramatic pod. But real quick, I want to tell behind the scenes, another behind the scenes story. So Johnny and I exchanged a portion of our top five picks, and I immediately went back to Johnny saying, your list is trash. And he was like, oh, hey, hold on a sec, let me fix it. And he came back and he put all the years the movies were released, which is what I do.
I crisped Chris, dude.
And I was like, oh, okay, much better. Better prepared.
Fucking longed his ass, dude.
All right, well, I'm going to start off. My number five favorite alien movie, the 1978 Superman, because he was a fucking alien.
Dude, that is some weak-ass shit. He's a superhero.
An alien.
So does that make... Why didn't I just do five Star Wars movies then? They're not on Earth.
You could have. They're aliens, Wookiees, freaking Yoda.
That's not what I think of when I think of aliens.
I mean, you couldn't do Boba Fett because he's dead.
No, actually, he's not.
He is dead. Anyway, so what's your number five?
Well, Spider-Man.
No, he's not an alien, asshole.
No, coming in, my number five is... They Live, 1988 movie, with starring Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
Where he wears the sunglasses and he can see the aliens.
You know what? The best, longest fight scene in Hollywood history.
20 minutes, right? South Park did a whole recreation of it.
Yeah, but they had two cripple kids fighting, and it was a cripple fight, and they did it like move for move. It was amazing.
Scene for scene with Jimmy and Timmy, dude.
Oh man!
But dude, have you seen They Live lately? It's
no.
It's actually pretty awesome. I came here to chew bubble gum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubble gum. That's where that line came from.
That's the only line from the movie that I know.
It's the only line I remember really from the movie. But
yeah, you know, I like John Carpenter. So, and speaking of John Carpenter, my number four, the 1982, The Thing. Dude, that was a great, great movie.
Was that the one with the where he looked kind of... No. Was he like... He looked kind of like a sea creature almost?
No. What are you talking about? The Thing? When they're in like Antarctica and the movie starts and this dog's running and this helicopter's behind him trying to shoot him and like throw bombs at him and everything. And then all of a sudden the helicopter crashes and the dog comes in. But it's an alien, and it moves from any living being.
Ah, I remember that one.
Yeah, so it's closed quarters, and they're getting ready to be shut down for the winter, and they're trapped there with this alien. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, Invasion of the Body Snatcher kind of thing. But, dude, Kurt Russell, freaking fantastic.
I do remember that movie.
Yeah, it was great. All right, what's your number four?
My number four is 2002's, I love doing this to Chris right now, 2002's Signs, M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong.
You know what? To me, Signs was like the first, dude, he lost it.
What?
Signs was like, oh man.
It was awesome.
No, it was pretty bad.
When they figured out. Spoiler alert, that water was what takes them down.
Yeah, so where they're going to go to? A planet that the majority of it is water? What kind of dumbass aliens is that?
This is a surprise ending, Chris. The aliens probably didn't know that water killed them. Duh.
Really? Dude, that's stupid.
The tinfoil hats, dude? Come on.
Yeah, whatever. Your lame's trash. You're lame? Whoa, let's back up. Your list is trash. I can't even talk. All right, my number three, 2009, District 9.
I wanted that one.
You know what? That is, dude, that was great. I mean, it was like such a good, the thing about science fiction is it's really good for metaphor. I mean, talking about apartheid in South Africa, the filmmakers from South Africa, and you just replace it with these alien creatures, It was great.
Dude, that's a movie where either you love it or you hate it.
Because like,
I've played it for so many people, and like,
really?
More than half of the people I played it for are like, oh, I don't like this. I'm like, what are you? This is amazing.
Really?
Like right at the beginning when you see the one guy walking, he's like, this means he's a bad guy. This means stay away.
Dude, I love that movie.
Dude, I thought it was awesome. And you know what? Whatever happened, because the writer director said that they wrote a part two, and they were supposed, for years, they were going to make a part two to it. I'm sure they were going to call it District 10.
I'm sure. I would love it if they did.
I would fucking be stoked. I'll be opening tonight.
Yeah, no, it was good. All right, what is your number three?
My number three is 1982's E.T.
You know what? What the fuck was that?
That's my E.T.
Yeah, but what is he saying?
A lot.
God. Dude, you sounded like as bad as like Jugs and Jimmy right there. I couldn't even.
Not that bad. Come on, Chris.
You're all like slurring E.T. You know what? I have not seen E.T. in, you know, I tried to get Jackson when he was little to watch it.
Probably scared him.
Yeah, he wasn't down.
After our generation, it scared kids.
Except for
Donnie Darko. Donnie Darko's
well, I mean, he freaking watches it, you know. But, he didn't like it, so I turned it off. And what I watched, it didn't look like it held up all that great.
No, it's awesome.
Really?
It's awesome. Dude, it's Steven Spielberg. Well, it's magical.
I don't know. All right. Well, maybe I should give it another shot.
Give it another shot, dude.
All right. My number two, 1987, Predator. Predator was a great film.
Dude.
And that is a...
Arnold and Jesse the Body Ventura.
That is a great... I mean, just the premise. I think how it's done. The acting's great. Billy, what? You're afraid of no man. He's not a man. We're all gonna die.
You're one ugly motherfucker.
Dude, that was a great film. Yeah. You know, and then, of course, it has the line, get to the Jabba!
That's in that one?
Yeah.
I thought that was Commando.
No, get to the Jabba!
Commandos, everybody get down!
All right, what is your number two?
My number two is 1997's The Fifth Element.
All right, yeah, I don't like that.
What?
I didn't like Fifth Element. Dude.
What didn't you like about Fifth Element?
It was all over the place.
That was the point, dude. The movie was fucking rad.
Lame. You know what?
And it had Gary Oldman in it, and he had the weird like grease that would leak out of the...
I'm just telling you, dude. I actually saw that in the theater.
And Chris Tucker. I did, too. And Chris Tucker. You didn't like Chris Tucker? He wasn't funny? With the big hair?
I remember that. I did not like it. I didn't like it. I'm just telling you. I didn't think it was very good.
Oh, that's your favorite band? I don't like them.
I'm not a fan.
Oh, you're going to play a song? I can assure you I hate it.
All right. Well, you know what I don't hate? My number one pick that came out in 1979. I just watched it a couple months ago, and it holds up very well. And it's shocking to me it came out in 1979. Alien.
You know what?
Nearly perfect film.
You know what, Chris? That doesn't surprise me, since you had Jaws very high up on your horror movie list.
Yeah.
Do you know that the reason why you don't see the alien that much in Alien is because the one that they were using looked so bad in plain sight that somebody on the set whispered, oh, we can't show him the alien. So that's why the alien is in the dark most of the time.
I don't care. It's a fantastic film.
Okay, moving on to my number one, 1986's Aliens.
Go fuck yourself, Alien. Alien.
Part two, the better one.
Nope.
Everyone, it just falls on one of those films that's better than the original, like Empire Strikes Back. Like The Godfather 2. Like, sometimes that second one just fucking ramps it up.
Godfather 2, no. Aliens 2? No.
Terminator 2? Better.
No.
Better.
No.
Better.
No. You are wrong. Alien is a nearly perfect film. Hey, I'm not saying I don't like Aliens 2. It is not better than the first one.
You're wrong. And the monsters, they got down better. The technology was better, so they could show the alien more. Not the monster, the alien.
Hey, man, game over, man. Game over.
Maybe we should just pair those two together, and it could be a really good long movie.
Okay, fair enough.
All right. All right.
Alien.
Alien aliens.
Alien squared.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
Can't wait
to hear.
That's
it. No shit.
Okay, so hey, you know what? It's still a fucking banger. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I had heard this originally. I had heard of this podcast on Spotify called Wind of Change, and Coach Jeff actually sent it a teaser before it came out too, and I had already known about it, but like I was stoked somebody else was amped up for it. It's basically about this guy had a friend that was that worked for the CIA.
Yeah.
And he was told like 10 years ago, he's like, hey, you know that song Wind of Change by the Scorpions? Yeah, CIA wrote it for them and had them sing it so it would like go and work on all the Soviet kids.
So, yeah, it came out, I believe it was like 1990. So this was right when, you know, Mikhail Gorbachev was, you know, bringing down the Berlin Wall.
Reagan.
Yeah.
Mikhail, you tear down that wall.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall.
But you might sound more like, I don't want your wall.
I don't want your wall.
Hey, mental note, Johnny does a shitty Reagan.
So, the podcast, okay. So the guy, so he's an investigative reporter for the New Yorker.
The New Yorker, yeah.
And he was like, you know what? I want to do a podcast on this. So he went to his friend, and they actually have audio of them.
It starts off that way, where his friend calls the CIA buddy.
Yeah, thanks for interrupting me, dude. Cool. I was just saying that, asshole. God, I like the phone interviews better because...
Because he can't see me flipping you off right now.
Yeah, so they called him, and you hear a one-sided conversation, and he's like, hey, remember that story you told me about the band? And his friend, you find out, he hangs up, and he's like, yeah, he's not going to do it. He's
no, like, dude, you can hear the phone conversation going on. He goes, It everything just because it sounds like a friendly conversation, then all of a sudden it just turns drastic. It's like he's like, yeah, no, no, I understand. No, I don't want you to go to jail or anything like that.
He's just like, yeah, it's a felony. He go to prison. Like he can't talk about it. So the investigative reporter, I mean, that was going to be like the huge source kind of thing. So the guy wouldn't go on record. So the whole, how many episodes? They're like eight?
Yeah, there's eight episodes.
And they're about 40 minutes long.
And you think, how can you make eight episodes out of just a little theory of hearsay on a band writing, singing a song that the CIA wrote?
And it, I mean, he goes off on some tangents and he gets into the history. He paints a picture of things like this the CIA did. And, you know.
They start showing you.
Like Louis Armstrong, you know, kind of went out and they wanted.
They wanted to show you that the jazz.
Yeah. And like spreading, you know, the American ideals through music. And, you know, I mean, they did this like Hollywood.
No,
I mean,
like Hollywood did Argo and then they made a movie about it.
Oh, but dude, that goes, I mean, it goes back even before that as far as like, I mean, they have attributed like spreading democracy with films. Like Hollywood is just like a huge propaganda machine for, you know, I mean, freaking, you had like Superman, Truth, Justice, and the American Way and all this shit. And yeah, but then they did talk about Argo. So the Ben Affleck directed film that, you know, the CIA really helped behind the scenes.
And they interview the guy that the movie was based on. They interview his wife, who was, and she's telling stories on it, and she was amazing on it.
Yeah, it was, you know, it did. So the thing with when...
She worked for the CIA too.
Yeah. So...
You didn't think that was cool? You just brushed that off. You're like, yeah.
Yeah. I was on a train of that. You've been interrupting me quite a bit during this segment, John.
It's our segment, asshole.
No, I think right now it's your segment.
Okay, go. I'll just be quiet. I'll sit over here.
I just think it's funny that it was my idea to do this, Chris. I don't even know what I was going to say. I can't remember. You derailed me. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, no, it was cool. I mean, he actually did speak to a handful of people that were involved in the CIA. And, you know, a lot of them, you know, I think he didn't get any definitive confirmation that this was true. But they had everyone he interviewed was like, it's within the realm of possibility. Like, yeah, I mean, it kind of sounds like something they might have done.
So many cool cast of characters. This one guy that had the house with the fucking secret rooms and collected all of the CIA gadgets that sounded very like James Bond-ish. And he would have like parties of former CIA agents and current CIA agents.
You know what? So the one lady, there was a lady from the CIA that did not want her real voice. So they hired an actress to do her dialogue. And she talked about a party. The party when this guy had. And there was an aging rock star that was there. And we never find out who it is, but I want
to
fucking know.
I'm dying to know, dude.
Yeah, like, I want to know who that was. But, you know, he pieces together, I mean, the thing about this story is he pieces together these, you know, strings that interconnect, and you're kind of like, I mean, dude, there's, I don't know if the CIA wrote the song, but, I mean, there's some shit going on behind the scenes that was kind of weird.
Or how about, the one band manager for like another American rock band that were, the whole band was always like, the KGB agent's like, obviously he's in the CIA. And then his only excuse was, I wasn't at the time.
So the thing, that the band manager, so he managed Bon Jovi and Skid Row.
No, not him. But you're talking about Doc McGee.
Yes. Who were you talking about?
I was talking about like the when they had the first band that ever played in Russia. It was an American band in like the 60s.
Oh yeah.
And it was that tour manager.
Oh.
The one that would always excuse himself and would wear like a long trench coat and had a briefcase.
Oh yeah. They made it sound like he was like the freaking going off in the alley and exchanging documents.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I thought you were talking about Doc McGee.
Doc McGee. It gets so on episode 4 or 5, you finally go on to Doc McGee's story, who he also managed Motley Crue, so I was very aware of Doc McGee growing up. He was a former drug dealer that got into managing bands. His money originally was drug money that funded where he first started doing bands. And Motley Crue was like his first band. And down the road, now he, in the midst of him managing Bon Jovi, Motley Crue, Skid Row, all of a sudden, and the Scorpions, gets busted for, like, how much did he get busted for, dude, in that deal?
It was something like over $100 million worth of cocaine.
Yeah.
Like, it was not just like, hey, I got a few bricks, dude. It was like, and so the point, people talking like, you don't get busted for $100 million and don't serve any jail time.
And they're like, even like, there was one guy that all he did was open a door for them, got like 3 years, right? And Doc McGee served zero time and then conveniently decided to have an anti-drug concert in Russia.
Yeah. And this was, I mean, I guess 1990 or 89.
Yeah, I remember 90. When that went down.
And no, I remember when it went down too and what a big deal it was.
That was like the huge MTV Headbangers Balls Day. So there was like all kinds of specials and shit on it.
So, you know, the point that this journalist was trying to make was like, who could get someone off scot-free after being busted with $100 million of cocaine? The CIA.
Yeah, dude. So, the guy's awesome, dude.
So the point that they made was that, you know, hey, go, you're going to take this concert and you're going to go into Russia. And they really wanted to speed up the downfall, you know, or spreading of democracy in the Soviet Union. So the point being, I mean, I don't want to bring... So finally, the last episode,
Let me say this.
See, once again, you interrupted me.
Dude. I know, because this is before. They're making a point. He wanted to make a point, too, about the Scorpions. That how could a band with lyrics that writes typical lyrics like from Rock You Like a Hurricane, the typical band lyrics is, the bitch is hungry, she needs to tell, so give her inches and feed her well. That's the kind of lyrics that they wrote. And then they come out with this crazy, totally inspiring, like none of their other music sounds anything like Winds of Change, and I'll give them that.
I remember when the song came out, and there was not my, I mean, I was a Smiths, Depeche Mode kind of guy.
We know, Chris.
But, I mean, it was kind of like, how do you not like Winds of Change? Like,
it's a banger.
You know? I mean, even back then, it was like, it's got a catchy whistle.
that's before Patience.
Yeah. But they talked to, what's his name? I mean, the lead singer of Scorpion.
Oh, God. What was his name? Because he has a great name, dude.
And I was telling
John. I want to say it was like Klaus. Does that sound right?
I think it is Klaus, right? And I told Johnny before this podcast, I did not know Scorpion was from Germany. I just assumed they were like an American band. I had no idea. Klaus?
Yeah.
All right. So the last episode, he goes and finally like, all right, I'm going to go talk to Klaus. It was good. I liked the documentary. And and quite frankly, I think that it would have been nice if there would have been a smoking gun and it was like, definitive answer. But you know what? Quite frankly, movies or books or whatever, dude, what have you, if you interrupt me one more time, I'm going to kick you in the nads.
I was agreeing with you. Go ahead.
Motherfucker.
Kick away.
That, you know, there's no smoking gun, but there's a bunch of evidence and they leave you to think about it and come to your own conclusion. And it's like, I don't know if the CIA did write the song, but there's some weird shit going behind the scenes.
They show you so much other weird shit that happens along the way that it's definitely, it could have happened. Like,
it could have happened. But so I highly recommend 8 episodes. Johnny rarely recommends anything that's really good, and I enjoy.
No, I had to blow up your phone. Like, it was days of me going, have you listened to it yet?
Yeah, I hadn't. I started lying, saying, no, I did. And then I finally started listening to it. I was like, hey, this is pretty good. I'm like, Coach Jeff, this was a good recommendation. Anyway, So Jay, it's When to Change. You can get it. They're piecemealing releases on iTunes, but you can download everything and binge listen on Spotify. So When to Change, we highly recommend it.
I met a man. He was a good man. Sailing and shoring, dancing the bit I can, making the foreign. Ah, yeah.
And we're back.
Not in the box.
Sure is nice to, you know, we might still have a shitty podcast, but at least we have one where people can hear us.
That's true. And you know, it is kind of, we've been particularly argumentative on this podcast, so it feels good.
Yeah, it does.
Good. Yeah, it feels good.
I could go right now.
So this is recommendations, and I'm gonna go first because you do the twofer because you always have to be one better than me. Oh, Chris, you're doing one. I'm gonna do two.
You ran a half marathon. I'm gonna run a marathon. Gotta one up them.
Hey, Chris, I've been promoted before you every time.
Okay. I've never said that, dude. I've never said that.
You're like, oh, Chris, you're just a purple belt. I'm a brown belt. You're not welcome in Brown Town.
I might have said that.
No, you did say that. Because it was you, Wendell, and I think at the time O'Sheen,
yeah,
when he was a brown belt, we're all talking. You're like, Chris, this is Brown Town talking now, right now.
You know what happened, Chris? Is somebody else said that, and I laughed. And when I laughed, you looked at me and said, fuck you, Johnny. I got in trouble for laughing.
I just think it's funny. We were supposed to be bros.
You know where that came from, right? It was when you didn't fucking thank me when you got your brown belt on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
When you thanked everyone else.
Yeah. That was kind of a dick move.
Yeah, that was really funny. Okay, go on.
All right.
What are you recommending?
My recommendation. So I just read a book about the making of The Wild Bunch, the Sam Peckinpah marvelous film that came out in 1969. You've seen Wild Bunch, right?
It sounds familiar. Is it a Western?
Yes, it is. So I read the book and I loved it. And so I was going to recommend the book. But then I was like, I don't know if a lot of people have seen The Wild Bunch. So I'm going to recommend The Wild Bunch, which is when I was, it was the summer before my freshman year in high school, we went to Europe for a month. And my uncle, who was in NATO, was stationed in Belgium. And he had tons of videotapes. So that's VHS back in the day. And actually, you know, come to think of it, they were all copied. He was a pirate. It was like the original
nice.
Pirate. Yeah.
Nice, dude. I have someone I want him to meet then.
So there was one that said Wild Bunch. And I was like, hey, what's this? And he was like, oh, this is the quintessential male bonding film. It's pretty good. It's a good Western. So it's, you know, at the time, and you know, there's some things that have been around for so long. These tropes have been around for so long. And you're like, well, I guess maybe when the Wild Bunch first did it, maybe it wasn't an old trope. Maybe this was, it was the first time out. But so like aging, you know, robbers, bandits that, you know, are kind of coming to the end of their life, and the way that they've lived their life as cowboys is coming to an end. And, you know, you see a car driving around and their time is at an end. And so it's basically, you know, the last score kind of thing. Like, we just need to get this one score and then we can just, you know, ride off into the sunset. And
I love those movies.
It is. And so what I got from the book at the time, so the late 60s, actually pretty much 68 and 69, and it was ushered in by the film Bonnie and Clyde, that hyper realistic violence, you know. So at the end of Bonnie and Clyde, when you see him getting mowed down,
Oh, like, yeah, dude.
You didn't see shit like that in movies before. And so the Wild Bunch turned it up a notch. And so, and I actually remember learning this in film school, that they did these squibs. So they would cut little holes in like shirts or whatever and put these little explosive devices like on like a t-shirt under a condom filled with fake blood. And then they would blow it up. And actually in the book, they did not have a steel plate. They just put it over a t-shirt.
Really?
Yeah. And so you would see little bits of like, it would look like flesh flying off, but it was the condom, the latex. So Sam Peckinpah, who was the director, really dialed up the violence. And at the time when it came out, people were just like, oh my God, like people walked out of screenings.
Yeah.
Like, this is just too violent. And now you look at it and it's pretty tame. Like, I mean, from today's standards, or Donovan playing Call of Duty.
Asshole.
So the Wild Bunch is a great, I mean, it might not be my favorite Western, because I think maybe my favorite Western would have to be Tombstone.
Tombstone's a good one, too. There's a lot of awesome Westerns.
Dude, I've kind of gotten into a Western kick after reading this book. I've been watching a lot of Westerns.
Unfortunately, it's not on street. I just looked when you were talking. Mm-hmm. I went on Netflix, and it's not.
It is not on it, but you can rent it on Amazon Prime for like $1.99. That's what I did. Or if you know a pirate, I'm sure you can get the Wild Bunch, or you can call my uncle and get the VHS tape. I highly recommend The Wild Bunch by Samuel Peckinpah. And if you watch it and like it, there's a book that came out a couple months ago called The Making of The Wild Bunch, and it is fantastic. So those are my recommendations. Johnny, what are yours?
I'm going to watch that this weekend.
I actually legitimately want to know what you think.
I'm going to watch it this weekend.
Stellar. And you know who would love it? Donovan. Mel Bonding, dude.
Sometimes he'll just get up and watch. Like, he's great going to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he likes going to the movies as much as I do. But at home,
he gets distracted.
Got other stuff. He's got a brand new gaming computer. He'll get up and leave. He'll say he has to go to the bathroom. Then it's like 2 hours later. I'm like, where the fuck did he go? Did he fall in? All right. My recommendation. Now, Chris, I'm going to warn you ahead of time. It's a 30 for 30, but it has nothing to do with the Utah Jazz getting their asses kicked.
Fucking asshole.
This is a 30 for 30 Lance on, and part one came out last Sunday and part two comes out this Sunday. And part one was 2 hours long. And it's about Lance Armstrong. And they just jump right into it. It starts out with Lance Armstrong, like sitting from like filled for the waist up, and he's talking about, we're at a bar and the Uber comes and I'm getting into the car, and he's all, because when this first came out and I surrendered and said, you know, for the blood doping, he's like, I kept waiting for people to, you know, say they hate me and this and that. Nothing happened. He's all, about 6 months later, we left the bar, went to the Uber came, and a guy across the street comes out of the bar and says, hey, Lance. And I was like, you know, I'm getting in my Uber. I was like, yeah. And he's like, fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you, Lance, you fucking cheater. And that's how it starts. And I, right when I watched that, my jaw dropped, and I was like, oh, I'm in, dude.
So that's funny, because I've seen that gif making the rounds of him flipping off. So now I know the context.
Yeah.
Of,
Let me just say, too, 30 for 30 this year, like ever since the Last Dance,
Whoa, the what?
They love the F word. Like, I don't remember so many F bombs in the other 30 for 30s. I don't think that ever, like, this year they just said, you know what, you can say the F word now.
I mean, they bleep it, right?
No.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, they let the F bombs fly on ESPN.
No kidding.
Yeah, there's no bleeping going on. There was no bleeping in The Last Dance, and there was no bleeping in Lance. Hey, Chris, didn't worry about it. I don't think that many people watched The Last Dance. I think you're good, dude. I don't think that many people watched it.
Dude, you know how many people have asked me, like, oh, hey, dude, what do you think of The Last Dance? I'm like, go fuck yourself. And they're like, legitimately, like, taken back. Like, what? I'm like, dude, it's my team. And they're like, and this was before, like, the last, because my understanding, what I heard, it's like, they don't even really mention the Utah Jazz until, like, the last two episodes.
Yeah.
So before that, people were like, hey, what do you think? I'm like, go fuck yourself. I'll never watch that film. I'll never watch that documentary.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you don't need, you being a Jazz fan, you will get more angry.
Oh, dude. That. Yeah, I don't even want
to. But, dude, I highly recommend, 30 for 30 is fire right now, dude. So I recommend watching Lance. You should watch that this weekend, Chris.
You know what I'm going to be watching this weekend? Me doing a bunch of yard work. That's what I'm doing this weekend.
Oh, that's sexy time for the wife, dude. You know, that's sexy.
That's foreplay. Me doing work around the house is foreplay, dude.
You finish that honey-do list, dude.
I will never finish it. It's like a carrot that's dangled in front of me. It will never be done.
It's like painting the Golden Gate Bridge. Once you get to one end, you got to turn around and go back.
That's a good analogy. It's true. And quite frankly, I put forth the effort. Like, what do I have to do to have you stop complaining that there's a lot to do around the house?
What's the bare minimum? I know what you want me to do, but what's the bare minimum?
What will you be satisfied with?
How many things on this list can I do and you still talk to me at the dinner table?
That's hilarious. All right. Hey, what's your music pick that I'm not going to listen to?
Well, this music pick was actually Donnie Darko's. Like, he listens to a ton of music.
Oh, okay. I'll listen to it then.
I knew you'd say that. You're such a bastard. He loved Last Dance, by the way. Anyways.
Go home and you tell that kid he's a little motherfucker.
This is one of, like, it's like a YouTuber guy, but, like, I gotta say that some of these songs are pretty damn catchy. He has an album coming out next week. His name's Oliver Tree, and the album's Ugly is Beautiful. And I like the guitar, and I like the singing on this song. This song is called Let Me Down. And it's fucking catchy. I'll give him that. So, once again, he's... No, it's not the Scorpions, Chris. Oh. It's not the Scorpions!
Oh, okay, sorry.
So, it's Oliver Tree off the album Ugly is Beautiful, and the track is called Let Me Down. Thanks for listening.